Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Do you struggle to feel close to God in the middle of your hectic, stressful days? When your mind is racing, prayer can feel like just another task instead of a place to rest. Discover a new way to connect with God in Prayer in Motion by Jennifer Tucker. This beautiful guide helps you weave prayer into your everyday routines through simple movements, grounding practices, and connection tools. Even in the middle of your busy life, God is near, inviting you to rest in His presence. Prayer in Motion is available now wherever books are sold.
Hello, Knox here. Welcome to our brand new free feed for our podcast, Shelf Respect. We've been making this show for 6 months for a Patreon community of more than 3,200 folks, but it's time to start also making episodes for everyone.
When we launched Shelf Respect in September of 2025, we released episode 0, Who Are We and What is Shelf Respect? We're sharing that episode with you now so you can get to know us better right from the start of the launch of our free feed. In this episode, we share who we are, why we created Shelf Respect, what types of readers we are, and the books that define us.
Now, to hear more episodes like this and hardback bangers like Shelf Reflection Series, where we talk about what we've been reading, Building a Literary Villain, Odd Reader Out, where Aaron and I explain fanfiction to Knox, our 2025 book superlatives, plus almost a dozen more episodes, and adding monthly, become a hardback at patreon.com/shelfrespect. The link is in the show notes. And now to the episode.
Hello and welcome to Shelf Respect, the book podcast focused on both the craft and chaos of fiction. I'm Knox McCoy. Joining me as always, here for dramatic gasps and open door scenes, is Jamie Golden and Aaron Moon.
We do love that.
We
love an open door. I mean, we appreciate all the people who don't love open doors, but
yeah.
But when they're open.
Yeah. I mean, the best, I'm assuming, I don't know, I'm just projecting, is when both, like the dramatic gas happens in the open door
in
scene.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know that you want that.
No, it should be dramatic gas because then it might be assault and that's not as fun.
Right. Or like a surprise that you weren't, it's not consensual.
Like, oh, unless it's the villain and then you're like, oh.
You guys, okay. You?
Sorry. Have we gone off track at the top?
No. This is good. I want to be honest because obviously, like, I didn't know what open door scenes. You guys explained to me. I was like, great, understand that now. Whenever you or anyone says open door scenes, I know the definition.
Right.
But the only reference point I have really is The Shining, when the guy, the butler, getting serviced by a bear. And they both look at the camera and they're like, you shouldn't be here. So that's what, whenever we're talking about open door scenes, that's what I'm thinking.
No,
that's
open
what
I door would be like, oh, you're here. We've been waiting.
Yeah.
And you get to be in there with us. Yeah.
Although I do think that there is a subset of like creature fic where the Shining scene that you just talked about would be interesting to people.
A lot of
Chuck Tingle has probably written it.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, in this episode, we're going to provide the proverbial book map of our new adventure through the world of fiction. Before we get into those details, let's set the stage and maybe build a little bit of context for some of the people who might be new here or people who might be new to us entirely. So, Aaron, do you want to like maybe talk about, you don't have to answer for like all of us, but like who specifically are you when it comes to this book focused podcast?
So I'm a podcaster. I work with you guys. I don't know. Hello. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. I'm the co-host of Faith Adjacent Podcast. I am the author of I've Got Questions and also The Time Gate, which I wrote in the fifth grade under the pen name Elizabeth Montgomery. And
Elizabeth with an E.
Elizabeth with an E. Yes. Right, because I was obsessed with Bewitched, and also I thought it was a super classy name.
It is.
I think the best way I can describe my energy is that I was the mascot in junior high. And that to me feels like, okay, that's the vibe. That's what we're bringing to it. And also I was beat up as the mascot. I feel like that's an important thing to note. I was the first employee for the Podcast Media Group.
Yes.
That's right.
I mean, it was like you guys paid me in a very mid-level tequila, which was really nice. And then I got real money from you, which was also exciting.
Upper mid. I'd say upper mid.
Upper mid. Yeah, we're not. Yeah.
At 5 neighborhood's feet, got a cul-de-sac. Okay, right. So.
It was great. It was great. That's me. That's the vibe.
Thank you. That was very robust. Was I like it? the particular focus on the mascot and getting beat up as the mascot.
I feel like that just explains a lot. It gives you a shorthand.
Because you're always trying to, you're looking for achievement in life and in your books.
But also a good time.
And a good time.
And, you know, maybe some other stuff. We'll talk about it later.
Maybe some furry stuff.
I don't know.
Do think it's instructional because people don't tell you, like what the movies don't tell you is whenever you're a mascot, people are looking to beat you up or dry hump you.
Yes, that's exactly
and they don't talk about that. So that's what's going down.
Or a kid's going to come put his like poop hands on you. That is also happening.
It does feel like those are the two types of books you like. Books that are going to hump you or beat you up.
That's about right.
Or poop hands.
That's about right.
That's good. Okay, Aaron, that's you. Jamie, who are you in regards to this?
Okay, so I am also a podcaster. I've been at the PMG for its entire existence, which is a little over 12 years. I am a recovering social worker by trade. But we talk about pop culture over at the podcast with Knox and Jamie. And then I like to talk about faith in a fun. And I would argue I'm the most sacrilegious on that podcast.
I don't think you have to argue it. I think that's
accurate. Okay, good.
Yeah. It's not a real competition.
Over at Faith Adjacent. what I love about this is one, because you're listening on the internet. I love that because I met these people on the internet. I met Knox in a writing forum when there were writing forums. Mm-hmm. And I met Aaron on Twitter. And then we somehow all ended up working together in a weird, fun way. And I live in Alabama. And despite what TV and movies tell you, I can read. So
we are 48th.
I know. Yes. And look, and I will say you'll see a theme in my reading, which is my liberal arts degree is the most useful in a read because I have a degree in women's studies, sociology with a minor in African-American studies. So I do love a lot of books about romance and strong women, and I love social justice and like tyranny and all the things. So you'll see that in my reading style for sure.
Okay. So for me personally, I share a lot of the same overlap. Also part of the PMG. I'm co-founder with Jamie. Aaron and I, we wrote a screenplay together called Breast Friends that I'm trying to talk her and Jamie into letting us turn into a work of fiction. We'll see how that goes and what happens there.
It's good. I'm sorry.
It's solid. First half's good. I'll tell you that. I don't know the second half. I don't know. But first half's good.
Lots
good.
Of stuff falls apart in the second act. Let's be honest.
You know, whatever.
It wouldn't be
who
the
cares,
first.
Right? I've got big English major energy. So just know that.
Yeah.
I taught myself to read by reading baseball cards, Reader's Digest, and I taught myself largely about puberty exclusively through James Dobson, Dr. James Dobson books.
Good.
So, yeah. So that's how I get down.
So puberty was smooth sailing for
you. Very clean cut, right? I understood everything I needed to. No complications.
Can I ask your favorite part of the Reader's Digest? Because I'm also a Reader's Digest.
Yeah.
Acolyte. But what's your favorite? Like, what was the thing that you gravitated towards?
The obviously adult stories with a lot of subtext that I wasn't getting, but I was reading and being like, something's up here.
Something's going on.
Yeah. I don't know quite what, but it's Reader's Digest, so they can't get
Aaron,
you know,
what
that
was yours?
I liked didn't they have like little funny stories like in the back?
Yes.
Just for laughs?
Just for laughs. That's what it was. That was my favorite grand toilet reading at my grandparents.
It's good.
Such a great
Reader's Digest. Yeah. I don't even know if they still make them, but like, don't sleep on that. I am an author. I've written 2 nonfiction books. I am a beard contest winner. I won that my senior year in high school. I'm holding your applause. I did make strong eye contact with Common in the Atlanta airport.
Yeah, you did.
And Danny Glover said hello to me when I was at a San Francisco Giants game. He walked by and I was staring at him. He goes, "Hey, what's up?" And just kept walking. I was like, "Thanks, Danny." It was cool. It was pretty cool. So,
okay. So you've got Common and Danny Glover.
Yep.
Yeah. Excellent. Who's your celebrity encounter?
My two encounters are, of course, Tony Hale, who I made one time hold my purse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Birmingham native. Birmingham's own.
I know. But for an adaptation vibe, it is Judi Dench. I picked up the same pants as her on either side of a sales rack at a Bloomingdale's in New York. And she has obviously been in many book and written work adaptations.
Sure.
So, so those are mine. Aaron,
and who got the pants? Who got the pants in that exchange?
She got the pants. Because listen, let me tell you.
You give it to
Dame Judi Dench gets the pleated khakis.
Mm-hmm. See, that's where you're wrong. That's when you say.
You have DJD. So much Dame Judi Dench.
Yeah, you're on the streets with me now. You're in my lab. Like, you know, so we're going to see how
this
goes.
You know, I was too busy questioning, why does Dame Judi Dench and you want the same pants?
The same pants.
So I was busy focused on that.
It's fair.
Erin, celebrity run-ins?
Yes. My celebrity claim to fame is that Jonathan Bailey, who is in one of our favorite adaptations, Bridgerton, he spit on me. Not in a demeaning way or a sexual way.
Or in a positive demeaning way.
It was, it was we saw him in a play, and the seat that I was in happened to be the seat that he came up into the beginning or the end of the first act and did like a whole monologue. And I looked up, and Jonathan, beautiful, precious baby angel Jonathan Bailey, is standing right next to me, and he's crying and he's spitting and he's giving his soliloquy. And nothing
you just
has
rubbed
ever,
it in like lotion.
I mean,
just
I did.
This moisturizer.
I really did.
From a soul.
I still have the essence of him on me somewhere.
That's why she smells.
Did I ever tell y'all I spit on someone after like a, it was in eighth grade. It was after a baseball game. There was an issue over a girl, and we disagreed on it, and word got back to me. So after the game, we won. We were going through the line, and I spit on him. And yeah,
in the sportsmanship line.
So demeaning.
Yeah, I know.
It was, gosh.
It was not cool.
Bad move. Did he, what did he do?
You know, hold me back. Like, there was a little scuff. No punches were thrown or anything, but it was like tough guy stuff.
Wow.
So different than Jonathan Bailey's intent is what I'm saying.
Yes, I think so.
Private boys' schools.
Yeah.
Just like in the books.
No, this is public school. This is public school at that point.
Oh, okay, never mind. Yeah, that's also just like in the books.
That's right. That's right. So I think what we're landing on is we're super qualified to do this. Right? That's what I'm hearing. I hope that's what y'all are hearing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Erin, do you care to talk a little bit about like the specifics of what this community is? Like maybe get down to brass tacks on like what exactly we're doing and how we're doing it?
All right. So this episode is available to you, our bookmarks, which is our free tier. That's completely free of charge. No library card, no overdue fines. But if you want more fiction, more flavor, more fun, we've got two tier options to level up. So if you want less commitment, more optionality, you can join us as a paperback for only $3 a month, which is
pennies.
Nothing.
Pennies.
Basically nothing. However, if you want everything that we're doing each month and all the perks of being in a committed relationship with us, then you can become a hardback for only $7 a month. If you're a hardback, that is going to get you two classic podcast episodes, one live stream, which includes the audio. If you need to look at us, like you can do that too, if that's important to you. You're going to get exclusive bonus posts, exclusive newsletter posts, commenting and chat privileges, and a community full of fine folks who love fiction as much as you do.
Okay, that is, that's like the big picture view on what this community is. Let's get more existential. Erin, do you care to talk about like maybe in your opinion, why we felt compelled to do this?
I mean, I felt compelled to do this because of my own mental health. I have, you know, it's been a weird few years for me personally and also globally, I feel like. And I just, reading has been such a comfort to me. It's always been like I used to, when I was like little and I was reading, I read in the bathtub. Like I read while I was curling my hair. I read, you know, I would take books out to recess and it was always such a comfort. And then, you know, as I was growing up and becoming an adult, obviously, like I have three kids and a full-time job and I, you know, there's a lot of responsibilities and reading kind of took a back seat. But, you know, over the past few years, I have really rediscovered my love of reading. And so I like talking about it. I like learning what other people love, like what makes them tick, why they like something. I love that conversation. And so there is like an aspect of like joy as resistance for me in this. And then also I like talking about books. I think it's super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Jamie, what about you?
For me, like I'm hoping Shelf Respect helps me find no less than 700 book twins. I'm always looking. That is my Roman Empire, is where is my book twin where we really agree on everything. This is what I hope to be, the new and improved 700 club, just for me. Okay. Now I do want to talk about books. That's because we will obviously talk about books. It's built into the name, obviously, but I also am interested in talking about Bookstagram drama, book talk drama, like
publishing drama,
drama, mm-hmm. like author drama. I want to lead robust, thoughtful discussions about whether an attractive author is still considered hot if he can't write female characters. Pierce Brown. And because he's so hot. And I do love those books.
Is he?
He is. Look, Google yourself some Pierce Brown author. Oh, yes. Listener, enjoy as they discover.
He's cute. cute. He's cute. I don't know, Jeannie. He has an Aaron Tveit vibe.
When's the last time you got your eyes checked? When's the last time you went to the eye doctor?
Stop it.
He's unrelated. I'm just asking.
You don't understand. The fantasy authors are slim pickings okay. for people who are hot, okay?
Because an objective observer would say you're seeming to, you kind of have like a rodent fetish, you know?
That's fair. No, that's rat fair. Boys. That's fair. No,
and there's no judgment there. I'm just
I was a part of Rat Boy Summer when it was a thing. Yeah. No, Jeremy Allen White. Little rat boy? Yeah, I mm-hmm. like it. But listen, mainly for me, Shelf Respect is about readers. Because listen, readers are smart, imaginative, hopeful, and they're also real cranky, all in one little book nerd. And I love that about them. So I'm excited to spend time with them.
I think that's great. I would like to say, should we go for like 701 Club? Mm-hmm. You know, just one better than 700 Club?
One better. Like suck it, Pat.
Yeah,
dead. I like He's that. Dead. He's dead, to be fair.
I like
is
that.
He dead?
Isn't he dead?
I don't think he's dead.
Dead or alive,
Pat Robertson.
I'm going to find out.
He's got to be dead.
No, I think he's 100% dead.
He did graduate from my high school. I learned that recently.
Oh, he's dead. Oh,
distinguished yeah. alumni.
Yeah. R.I.P.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Actually, well, a little bit.
Got a little stuff going when you got there. Yeah. I just want there to have been a lot of robust discussion.
Yeah, watching Erin take off the clothes of her other podcast to get on this one is interesting. Pretty much same on all that. And I think maybe more specifically to me, I think with our other shows, like whether it's Faith Adjacent or Pop Culture, those seem specific, but they're actually incredibly generalized. So a lot of mm-hmm. our conversation has to be filtered through a very like broad and general space, which is good, but sometimes you just want to like really get in the weeds with something. And I like that with books, and specifically with books, it gives you the ability to get specific and granular without necessarily like being so weird that it's like no one else shares this with you. And, you know, I share a lot of the same history, like Erin, probably you didn't read as much James Dobson as I did, you know, not trying to flex on you, but
yeah,
you know,
no,
just what it was.
There's no need to be arrogant about it, Knox. Okay.
Sure. But, there was like a, you know, maybe like 5, 6, 7 years where I just didn't read as much. Probably after COVID, I really got back into reading and I enjoyed it. And we were talking, I don't know where we were talking about this, but, we were talking about how books feel like they've supplanted TV and maybe movies to a certain extent of like what everyone's doing now. There seems to be more momentum around books. I certainly enjoy, a good book more. It just feels, my hit rate on finding a good book feels much more successful than my hit rate on finding a good show. And I like that I can control the pace on that. But I also have found, and Jamie, you talking about the 700 or 701 Club has reminded me of this. Sharing like book recommendations is one of my favorite things. When I get a TV or movie recommendation, I don't know why, but I kind of get a little itchy about it. I'm like, I'll be the judge. Okay. Don't do that.
I'll put it on the list.
Yeah. We'll see if we get to it. I don't know. But a book recommendation, I'm like, immediately I look into it and I want to read it because I trust different sensibilities. And I like that community of knowledge and understanding and creativity so much. So I feel like it's such an important thing. And I'm really excited about that aspect of it.
I love that. That's great.
Okay. That's the why. Let's talk specifically. So maybe people can kind of identify us a little bit and understand who they're dealing with. Erin, like what kind of reader would you say you are?
So I have a very complicated algorithm for what, like how I read what I read. So I have very specific parameters. So I do a lot of historical fiction, but also like historical nonfiction. Those, and they're the giant ones, like, you know, Marie Antoinette and, you know, 800 page novels or, you know, books about King Henry VIII. I do those on Audible, but I only listen to those at night. So it's very specific. My smut is exclusively on Kindle, and that's also only at night. That's before the Audible. I read a lot of theology for Faith Adjacent. I do that physical copies because of highlights. And then literary fiction and nonfiction, that goes on Vibes. It's either Libby audio, or I listen, or I like do the Libby book. And then, but I only listen to that when I'm in the car or I'm walking. I do, so I mean, it's very specific. Yeah. And then if I like it and I need it for the bookshelf, I'll buy it. But then sometimes if it's an author I love or I'm traveling, I want to go like to an indie and I want to support them and either like get a recommendation about something that's local or just want to support them, then I buy the physical copy. So like my brain takes in information very differently depending on what I'm reading. I usually carry one or two books around with me. And then I always have something going on my phone if I'm like waiting for kids after practice, which is like kind of awkward because I'm reading filthy smut while, yeah. you know, we're waiting for the volleyball practice to get out.
By the team moms talking about meal assignments.
It's like, and then I like collecting quotes and like anytime, it doesn't matter if it's fiction, it doesn't matter if it's a nonfiction. Anytime I run across like just good ass writing, I'm going to highlight it. I'm going to mark it. And I'm a dog ear person or Same. A little post-it flag. And I don't do it on Kindle. I don't do highlights on Kindle. It really bothers me. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like, where is it? Where did it go? And I understand it's like
Who's
a tab.
Who's going to find this
Yeah,
ever.
It's a tab. It's a
yeah.
tab.
And I know like, that, but right. it's also like, but is it? I don't know. but I did want to ask you guys like before, because I obviously want y'all to share about your readers, but like, do you write in your books? Do you dog ear your books? Do you highlight? Like, how do you feel about that controversy? Because I know it's a very divisive topic.
You know, friend of the show, and I know this is episode one, I assume she is, Amy B. Jones, who owns the bookshelf in Thomasville, Georgia. She convinced me to tear my pages.
Yeah.
And so now I tear my pages.
Oh, I like that.
What you tearing pages for? What do you mean?
I knew that it would corner? Upset one of us. Yeah, just the corner. I'm just tearing the corner. And
why
so,
do you tear it?
I don't know why. I don't want to dog ear it because, like, what if it gets pushed flat? And then I've lost this great quote that I'm never going to revisit. I'm never going to revisit a quote. So yeah. Let me be clear. I'm a forward-thinking person. So it's like that happened in the past. But if I were to do it, now I highlighted my Kindle a ton. Like, really? I come back to it a lot. Like, I'll go, well, and especially now when we're talking about books, I have to, I read, I got to know, what was it that I liked in that? Yeah. I don't remember.
Highlighting in a Kindle feels like having a full ass coffee mag in your car or coffee mug in your car.
Yes.
That is the height of chaos. And I don't understand
nice,
it.
Though.
What
Mugs
is, like, nice. What, I get, what am I doing?
What's the point here? You are just being crazy. Like, it just feels like all my open tabs in Chrome right now. And I know it's reasonable for people. I'm just telling you, for me, I've got like 58 open tabs. I'm not gonna read them. I know that. They know that. But it's just like the pretense, the performance of like, I'm gonna read these eventually.
Once, oh yeah, you know? It's a performance. It's like when I save TikToks, it's like, and I put them in a collection. I even put them in a themed collection, like bathroom inspiration. And I'm not, I know I'm never gonna look it. Back at that. Yeah.
I love it. I used to have Get, it's like Pocket. It was like a
Read This Later. Like Pocket.
But like it died or something. So now like it got taken over by Russians.
I like that I you're know. Like, there's no other apps that could do that.
It didn't feel like it. Now I'm on Raindrop. But Pocket would always be like, you're in the top 0.00001 percentile of readers.
Because there's only eight of us here.
I didn't read most of them. I just saved them. And they assumed I read them.
I assumed.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay, I'm a Jamie, saver. What kind of reader are you?
Listen, I'm a plotty page turner, okay?
Okay.
I do enjoy romance, more historical and romanticy than contemporary romance, mainly because I'm like, who can be in love now? The world is burning. I can't understand it. But I do love new ways. I love authors finding new ways to describe arousal, flesh, tremors, crave, throbbing, tight bud of desire. I love it.
I know. Like that one, I'll be honest.
I know. But my go-to genres are thrillers, fantasy, historical romance, romanticy, and magical realism. Those are where I really love. I do love Star Wars and Dramini fanfic very much. The genre that I struggle with the most is literary fiction, simply because nothing happens to Lucy Barton and she does not encounter enough dragons and mysterious drownings in her town.
No one's having sex.
No one is getting in a carriage going to Scotland to get a quick wedding taken care of. But I do read like I sleep, which is just for a minimum of 6 hours straight, minimum. I don't read. When people tell me they read more than one book at a time, I'm like, does your brain function like that?
I do that.
That's what I was thinking when Aaron was talking.
I know.
When she was like, I'm like, what are you talking about? How do you keep any of that straight?
More than one book like, at a time?
When I've got a book, I've got to wrestle this to the ground, like God wrestling Jacob. I can't wrestle someone else. Like I'm focused on this book, and then I got to move to the next one.
My character switched up.
I can be listening, like when I'm running or whatever, to one, and then I can have a physical open copy. I don't. I was about to say the F word. I'm not
going
to do that.
Do it.
I don't with Kindle. I can't digital read.
You can't digital read at all.
That's kind of what I was realizing about all the tabs. I was like, I just don't do this. So why am I saving these? But I just can't. I don't know why. I like seeing the end inside, or like I'm getting to a chapter conclusion. A Kindle is just like the infinite maw of time and possibility.
Check the percentage of
no, I don't want to do that. I want to check it. I just want to vibe check it. I want to look at numbers. And it's not math.
And that's why I can't read more than one book at a time, because I'm looking at that percentage going, you can do it, girl. 2 a.m. Yeah. We got this. You're going to knock this out. But I love ebooks. I actually prefer ebook because it can just be, I got the phone, I got the tablet, I can read this anywhere. I do like that. Physical books, listen, I decided I'm not a physical book girl when I finally got When the Moon Hatched, and I went, I can't even, this is 900 pages in a in a paperback. This is ridiculous. But I can't do audio. I tried. I was like, no, for this podcast, I will start trying audio. And I did.
Yeah.
I downloaded The Jade Legacy by Fonda Lee. And literally a chapter in, I went, what happened? Are they in jail? Are they in a bar? Where are they? I can't do this. So I was like, that $15 is gone. Congratulations, Fonda Lee. You got paid, but I did not. I'm going
to try to return. Maybe you can return it. They'll let you return some. I don't know the rhyme or reason.
Oh, good to know. Yeah. Okay. I didn't even know.
You haven't gotten through very much of it, and you're like, that's not mine for me.
Okay. So, Knox, what kind of reader are you?
I would say, I went back and looked last 2 years, every fiction book I've read. And what I was trying to like, what's the theme here? And it was like every story had some, you know, there were some outliers, but for the most part, every story was something where like the world or the characters were a little broken, little weird, headed for some kind of reckoning. Maybe it's existential, maybe it's literal. And I like that. And so I thought like if I took a reader personality quiz, it would probably be something like genre blender or beautiful nihilist, you know? Yeah. And I wouldn't have guessed that until I went through because I was noticing it's a lot of historical fiction. I just learned about literary fiction, so apparently I love literary fiction.
You do love literary fiction.
News to me. I do love it, I guess. I like ethically gray or morally ambivalent characters or stories. I like to consider myself pretty genre promiscuous. I just don't care.
I
if it's a good story, I don't care. I don't get like finicky about, oh, I shouldn't be reading a romance. Like if it's good, it's good. I don't care. I like speculative fiction that's grounded in something. Like I like a strange premise, but like they're treating it seriously. I love dark humor, dread. I love taking sacred cows and being like, let's have fun or let's like examine this a little bit. And I like stories and characters driven by consequence. Like I like setting a lot, but I like a very something. And then because of that, this happens. I feel like that's a very fun way to consume a story, but also to tell a story. But I also just kind of to the genre blender, I like stories that blur the lines between maybe a literary idea, but also a genre expectation. I get bored by repetition in genre. So I like disruptions and subversions when it comes to that. Any book like that, I'm really going to like.
So you probably wouldn't like Germani as much as Aaron and I do. falling in love over and over again.
That's the thing. It's like, we got to make it a little weird. And I'm sure they do, you know, but it's like.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes Hermione, and this is not Germani, this is just Harry Potter. Sometimes Hermione gets with Tom Riddle.
Okay. See, that's it. That's still, yeah.
Well, and I don't even know what that means because I've never read the book. I've never read Harry Potter. But I'm always like, I don't know what this means, but it seems salacious.
That's the big V. That's the big V guy, right?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Kind of having sex with the Antichrist. So,
yeah. So I don't know how I feel about that.
Sorry. okay, that's our reader profile. Let's talk more specifically about like specific books that define us. Aaron, what do you got for that?
So I think every white girl. Millennial white girl has gone through one of three phases.
Got excluded immediately.
Well, no, yeah. I just don't want to speak for you. This could be true for you, but I don't want to speak for you.
Okay, fair.
So I think we go through one of three phases: a Greek mythology phase, an Anne Boleyn phase, or a Titanic phase. Oh. And that was my origin story. I read a lot of American Girl doll. That was a big deal for me. So like, I like historical fiction.
Is that American mythology?
That's American mythology.
Yeah.
I carry, like in fourth grade, I carried around a giant Greek mythology and refused to return it to the library because I was like,
I kept thinking, why were you beaten up? But now I know.
Now, okay. Yeah. That was later. That was later. There was this series of books called Royalty Girls, and it was like Queen Elizabeth as a teen and Anne Boleyn as a teen and Sacagawea as a teen, which is like, you know, that's a little vague, but I loved them. Like, I adored them. I loved that vibe. I loved learning about that. It was kind of, there's some like kissing in it. So that was really exciting.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was my origin story, and Big Babysitter Club also, like just Big Babysitter Club vibes. And then my favorite novel of all time is Lonesome Dove, by Larry McMurtry. It reminds me of home. It reminds me of like my family. It's some of the most stunning writing I've ever read in my whole life. It's heartbreaking and terrible and just, it's amazing.
It is amazing. I read Lonesome Dove just a couple of years ago and I was like, Oh, this is amazing.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Heard about this book?
You guys, people know.
You guys know about this? Another one of my favorite novels is Frankenstein by Mary Shelley. I have Love in Me, the likes of which you can scarcely imagine, and Rage, the likes of which you would not believe. If I cannot satisfy the one, I will indulge the other.
That's good stuff, man.
Get out. She's amazing. But I also really like a series. Like, I like a continuation of a story. I like seeing where people go. That's why I like TV better than I like movies, because it's like, well, what happened afterwards? I want to know. My favorite series of all time is Wolf Hall by Hilary Mantel. It is the story of Thomas Cromwell, who was an advisor to Henry VIII. And I just don't know that anyone can, like, she just understands power dynamics and like what it means to be a person. I just don't know anyone else who can communicate it like she did. She's so great, and RIP for real. And then finally, like, I would be remiss if I did not mention that I was born in the primordial goo of the Harry Potter series as a child, obviously Narnia, but then like Harry Potter was really a really big moment for me. And I think why I read so much Dramini. I mean, it is why I read so much Dramini. Yeah. It's very nice. The epilogue of the Harry Potter series sucks so bad. And it's nice to kind of get to rewrite that every time you read a Dramini. So
that Harry became a cop and Hermione settled.
God,
the end.
So bad. Jamie, what about you? Like, what are books that define you?
Okay, so I was thinking, I wasn't a reader as a kid. Like, I did read Judy Blume because I was like, that's because my mother literally handed me Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, to explain my period to me.
Good. Yeah.
She didn't explain it. She expected Judy to do it.
Sure.
And Judy did. She did a great job. Thank you. Sweet Valley High, because I am very much into identical twins. I actually love identical twins in literature. Like, I love it. Fraternal twins, you suck. You're not impressive. If you have them, I'm glad you had them, but boring.
You have a sibling.
And then I read Peanuts comics because ADHD is real. And when you're in the 80s, it was untreated for girls. And so, because they're like, girls can't have ADHD. But then what happened was in 9/11, obviously, a transformative for all of us.
I honestly have no idea where this is going.
I don't know either. I know. But I was like, life is too short. Why am I only reading nonfiction books by Christian authors? Like, this is ridiculous. This is boring, too. I hate this. And so I ended up wandering around, but I also had no money. Like, I was so underpaid. Yeah. And so I just started, in the same way that we stole music, I started stealing books from various forums to read romance novels. And now I happily pay all those authors, and I do regret all of that. But I was like, how do I read? Because the library, it was like, I got to physically go here. There was no Libby.
A lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I treat this like my letterbox tour. If you want to know four books, if you want to decide if I am your 700 Club book twin, then you're going to know that my favorite book of all time is Persuasion by Jane Austen. I think it's the most underrated of all of the, I think Pride and Prejudice gets all the glory and Emma and Sense and Sensibility, but Persuasion is great. It was written in 1817. It's just a romance. It's not a historical romance because it was written in 1817. So that's just a reminder. But look here, and what's going to be hard for a lot of you listeners, you're going to be like, wait, your favorite book is a second chance romance, but you hate the second chance romance genre.
God, even think about that.
I know. But what I really love about it is it's about social mobility. It's about resentment. It's about loneliness, unmet expectations. I love a spinster. Oh my God, I love a spinster. On the Shelf, Anne and Wentworth, Together Forever. Love them. Okay, second book. This is how I ended up. My friend Tara in high school for high school graduation gave me a book. And I was like, oh, wait, we read casually? Oh, wait, I just got out of high school. Why I got to read anymore? Mm-hmm. But she gave me a book that to this day, 100,000 ratings on Goodreads, 4.2 stars, 1991, published in 1991. It is The Firm by John Grisham.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, that book holds up. I read it last year again, and I was like, holy smokes, this is still fantastic. Listen, and it was just, it's a classic thriller. You've got corruption. You've got ambition for the American dream. You've got the moral compromise that often requires. You got a hot lawyer, Mitch? Come on. And it's stuffed to the brim. That's a book where the twists do not hold till the end. You're twisting and turning the whole time. So I love that. I do love a great mystery thriller. When it comes to historical romance, the book that defines me is Nine Rules to Break When Romancing a Rake by Sarah McLachlan. Good. It was published in 2010. I'm now a completist, a Sarah McLachlan completist. I love her. I think it's set in 1832. Listen, when a romance writer can write genuinely witty banter, dead. Because it's just so rare. And the difference in this is so often in a rom-com vibe of a book, it's all built on miscommunication because we think of the movies, not the books. But this book doesn't do that. There's no miscommunication. There's no acting like idiots except for Idiots for Love. Mm-hmm. They're very competent idiots, which I also love. It's just about a spinster, Callie, who is like, I followed all the rules and nothing in my life has turned out great. So how about we break all those rules and I'll let this hot Marquess help me do it.
Yeah, you will.
And she did. Okay. And then my final one, and it's actually probably my favorite read from the last 5 years, and that is Blood Over Bright Haven by Emma Wong. It came out in 2023. This is high fantasy, dark academia. We've got themes of tyranny and dismantling a system that does not value our Siona, our main character, is finally admitted, the first female ever admitted into this high magistry of the University of Magics. But of course, they don't like that a woman is there. And so instead of giving her a qualified lab assistant, they give her a janitor. And
even the magical world, they're like, women.
I know. And
it's magical world. We can do anything.
But it's a beautiful reflection of so many things we see in the real world, right? But this janitor is not as he would seem either. And the thing I love about this book is I love when a book opens and does not give you 1 millimeter of breathing room. Like they're going to hit the ground running. And that is what this book does. There's no warm up. It's just sprinting to the horizon. And it's such a fantastic, and it's a beautiful standalone. I will say, I do not enjoy, opposed to Aaron, I do not enjoy an 8-book series. I want to die 1,000 deaths.
Not a series guy either. The only one I read is, I can't remember his name. He's a history guy, has a history podcast.
Dan Carlin?
No.
No, a different one.
I feel like it's a different Dan, to be honest with you. Oh. But I started reading it and I got tricked. I was like, what?
Dan Jones.
Boom, that's it, Dan Jones.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't believe I'm reading this.
Because what happens is it's suddenly George R. R. Martin and you're like, oh, he's just never going to finish it.
Yeah, that's what I like about a book. I control the tempo, right. My tempo.
But now I've got to wait. Pain. Like you gotta like, that's like part of it.
Again, books that beat her up. Yep, got it.
I probably share a little bit of Aaron's sensibility in terms of Greek mythology, like Edith Hamilton's. I remember my sister had Greek mythology. I don't know what grade, and I would like steal her book and be like, I'm gonna read this. And I don't know if you've ever seen Edith Hamilton. Back in the day, like she was like born in the mid 1800s, died in like, I think like 1960 something, but she looks like she was there for the myths. So she's like, I'm reporting from on the ground. I remember what Hercules did. That was a huge influence.
She was only old. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right.
She's ever been young.
One of those people was like, oh, how old are you, 60? And she's like, I'm 15. Matt Christopher books were a big deal to me. Those were just like a guy writing about sports for kids. So it was like, this kid throws fast and he's redheaded, but his mom is a drunk And so I was like, but we still should be friends with him. Just like crazy twist like that. But I liked it. I wasn't a Goosebumps guy because I went to church. So no. But that's what I did.
Satan in the door.
That's okay? Right. That's exactly right. But I did. I also, I forgot about Babysitter's Club books. A lot of what I read, I would just steal from my sister. And I crushed all the Babysitter's Club books. I was like,
they're good.
Good stuff. They are. They're good.
They're great.
You know, and I didn't care at that point. So in terms of like, if you could look at the most formative books for me, I would say the first one would probably be Their Eyes Were Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston. One of my favorite books, one of the most important books. And I think it was because I read this, I guess, at some point in high school, and you're just not naturally, maybe as a young reader, you're just kind of reading the stuff you like, you know, or the stuff that you resonate with. So when I was made to read this, I wouldn't have chosen to read a book about like the personal exploration of Black womanhood. But I'm glad I did. Right. And yeah. It was so rich as a story, but also the dialect choices, the folkloric kind of language that just kind of opened my mind up to all these different perspectives and experiences with writing that you could do. I'd also have to say short stories from Raymond Carver and Flannery O'Connor, probably the most influential things in my life. Raymond Carver, it's very sparse and quietly devastating stories, like just snapshots of ordinary people at breaking points, like the Cathedral, I would recommend if you want to get into Raymond Carver. And then Flannery O'Connor, it's just Southern Gothic. It's like grotesque, sharp, but also spiritually charged, which so important. I loved it so much. I would also say The Secret History by Donna Tartt. It would have been like a separate piece before I read the Secret History, but The Secret History elevated that idea, like that coming of age. Mm-hmm. And I just like that idea of like intellectual elitism, but corruption, coming of age, like in a place that you're not familiar with. The Chosen by Chaim Potok. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's a book about a couple of Jewish kids coming to terms with their faith. And also it's like not even just a little about the complicated nature of relationships between fathers and sons, which I loved. And then probably one of the most like the first devastating book experience, maybe, I don't know if it's quite the number one first, but first like three, The Bridge to Terabithia by Katherine Patterson. When I read that, and I just cried in fourth grade, and everybody's like, what's going on with that kid? And I was like, I read Bridge to Terabithia. Did you guys not read this? Did you not see what happened? And the kid died. So I absolutely love those. So I think those were the most formative. And if you want to explain like what my desires are and how I look for books and stories, it would be because of these books, you know?
I love that. See, I would love to hear from the listener in on the post, like what influenced your reading life? Like what books would you say would define you? I'm also curious about the sibling influence, like, because I love that you were so influenced by your sister Knox.
Yeah.
And my brother, he, can he read?
You influenced by Keith? You read a lot of Keith stuff?
He's a meteorologist, so I know he can read, but I've never seen him read. And so he was more of a music movies guy. And so I wasn't influenced by him. Plus, he was so much older. So I'm also curious about who in your life influenced what you read. Hmm. So in the comments, let us know.
If it's Dr. James Dobson, that's okay. You can say that.
You can
that's
say no that. Judgment. Oh my gosh.
This is a safe place. I mean, we're going to mock you, but like still,
That's right. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of Shelf Respect.
If you enjoyed this Get to Know Us episode, subscribe to Shelf Respect wherever you get your podcast and follow us on Instagram at @readwithshelfrespect.
And if you want even more content, join our paid community of more than 3,000 readers we lovingly call hardbacks at patreon.com/shelfrespect. Use code Bated Breath now through February 28th to save 90% on your first month of hardbacks. That's only 70 cents, you guys. The link is in the show notes. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on the internet at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Erin Moon. You can find me on the interwebs at Erin H. Moon.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
The end.